It's going to be super interesting.
I'm just getting nervous thinking about it.
I'm nervous in this chair as we speak.
Yeah.
But it's something to look forward to, right?
Yeah.
So, right, guys, we're in studio with Akona Ndengani, chatting about World Cup rugby. It's been exciting World Cup, I think. I'm already nervous for this weekend and nervous for next weekend. But I can't tell you how nervous I was for this past weekend that just went by against France. The level of rugby played over the weekend was absolutely insane. I think you can't ask for a better match to watch and a better quarterfinals. I think there was massive upsets over the weekend. And I think let's dive straight into that. Let's chat about the quarterfinals that's just passed. I think South Africa and France was just a brutal battle. I didn't see them winning after 60 minutes, to be honest. We didn't have the ball. We didn't have possession. They were all over us possession-wise. Let's chat about that. What did you think of that game?
You know, funny enough, for me, I was nervous in the other games, like New Zealand-Ireland game. Even though I begged the Irish to win, but obviously I still support Southern Hemisphere teams. Mm-hmm. So I was supporting the All Blacks, but I didn't see them beating Ireland. But when the Boks were playing, I didn't feel that much nerves compared to the other games. And I think purely because, you know, when I saw the team getting off the bus, walking through the stadium, you know, you could see a bit of calmness among the players, a bit of focus. And I think, you know, knowing how the coaching staff thinks, how Rasi just always seems to have a plan with every game. You know, him and Jacques seem to have to plan properly. They seem to look at the opposition and plan accordingly and try and find weaknesses, how to exploit. And you know, their plan worked perfectly. For example, he made changes on the 45th minute. Changed halfbacks, brought on Kwakha,
brought on Dion, brought on Vili.
And when I thought that, you know, the team is still going strong, so given another 10, 15 minutes, but he changed the team, even though, you know, the team seemed to struggle a little bit when the guys came on, but the way they finished the game.
Correct.
With Kwakha making those vital steals, Dion making tackles and, you know, being a nuisance in the breakdown, just shows you what he had in mind. And, you know, pushing Bongi for 70 minutes, you know.
Bongi had a great game.
He was solid, man of the match performance. So I think hats off to him. You know, Pollard kicking that 52-meter kick at that point.
I mean, even the crowd was even booing him. I mean, he had that added pressure inside the stadium.
Exactly.
It wasn't like a silent stadium, right?
No, it was loud. And that's one thing that I saw from both games. You know, the Irish had a lot of support, but the All Blacks managed to silence that. Because I think once you're able to put the team under pressure, then the crowd starts to go quiet. And they start to find things to go, to push the ref, to give you penalty, to give them penalties. And I thought the Boks managed that very well. And the beauty about it is because, you know, this team has been together for so long. Damien and Jesse have been playing since 2015 together. They played 2019 and now 2023. So there's a lot of experience, a lot of leaders in the team. So I think, you know, Jacques had a proper plan and they executed it very well. Yes, you talk about not having territory or possession. You know, we made double the tackles, and that's understandably so. You know, when they get into your half, because French also don't play in their own half. You know, Dupont was putting over those short kicks and then regathering the ball again and attack from there. So we know that they like to play with ball in hand, especially when in their own half. You know, they've got those runners coming around the corner. Jalibert also controlled the tempo very well of the team, especially in the later parts of the game. And I thought, you know, we managed Dante very well because he's the one that gets them go forward. And I think we deserved to win that game.
We did deserve to win it. I mean, if you just look at from a tactical point of view, I mean, look at that call from Damien deciding to call a mark and go for a scrum. Because all you're going to do is kick it to them again and they're going to control the game, right?
Correct, correct.
So, I mean, that was a brave and huge call.
But it just shows you the plan. Because Damien would never do that if it was not planned before, prior to the game. Because he just caught the ball and it went straight to a scrum. And the interesting thing about it is that most people are saying, that's risky because it could go against you.
You could lose a scrum and get a penalty.
I was actually having that debate in my friend's WhatsApp group. And for me, my feeling is that if you back yourself and you know what your strengths are, obviously you play according to your strengths. And I think that the box backed their scrum against the French. And it worked out. You know, they got the penalty. They were able to exit and still keep the ball. Instead of calling the mark, kicking it out on the 10 meters, and then now you're putting yourself under pressure from the lineout. We know how good their lineout was on the weekend. You know, they were driving us, they were playing off the top. So now you're taking away their strength and you're using your strength against them. So I thought it was a plan that was well prepared and well executed.
I think there were a lot of standout performances as well. I mean, Ox and Che had a great, great game. Quacha had a great game.
Yes.
Eben had a great game.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah. Plenty.
Colby. I mean, that charge down from Colby. The last time, it was actually funny, the last time I saw that happen was at a high school game. I kid you not.
No, you're right.
It was a high school game when I was in high school and I was watching this happen and I was like, is this even allowed? Right.
You know, there's a friend of mine who was actually, who's a New Zealand supporter. He went on for days. It's like, no, you can't do a charge down. Like, charge downs are not meant to be part of the game. I was like, those are the small things that make a difference. Those things are not coached. We're told as the outside backs, okay, Chase, put him under pressure, because if he misses, those are 2 points. We end up winning by 1 point.
Correct.
So that's the small difference that coaches don't need to coach. It's the players, how much they want it. And I said to him, it's part of the game. Manilibok missed the 2 points, unfortunately. But Chase's charge down was able to give us 19-0 scoreline.
Correct.
So for me, you know, big games like the quarterfinals, semis, the playoffs, it's the small things that make a difference.
100%.
You look at the All Blacks quarterfinal. Jordy Barrett holding up that more try.
Are you joking?
You know, so
and he's a backline player.
He's a backline player. Yeah. So small things like that. World's Argentina, Maroni coming on the bench, coming off the bench, making that try saving tackle on Rhys Summitt. So you need players to do special things in those big moments. And Cheslin was one of those. And, you know, it made a difference at the end.
I mean, if you look at the press conference, and they were chatting about that charge down. Cheslin said, I've been playing with him for 5 years. I know his pre-shot routine.
Yes.
So he knows when he can start running.
Yes.
And he knew he could get him unexpectedly.
Yes.
So that is well, well done, I think.
And I think Romas was not expecting him.
No.
Because everyone thought, you know, he's a sharpshooter. He gets their points for the French. You know, he keeps that scoreboard ticking. And he was outside the 22, but I think for him, because it's a fine line, because you need to start your charge down when he starts to move, because most players get it wrong and then the ref can pick it up and say no retake, but Cheslin was just spot on and just focused on making sure that he either puts him off or gets the charge down. And special, man. Special.
No, it was super special. It was so exciting.
It was.
And the New Zealand Ireland game. What are your takes on that?
Well, someone said the All Blacks going to win. No names mentioned.
You owe me a bottle of brandy for that.
No names mentioned. No, well done. Good call. For me, the reason why I didn't see it happening. First game, France, New Zealand. New Zealand score first. And, you know, they put the French under pressure. But the way that the French came back with the forwards and were able to dominate the All Blacks physically, and we're able to stop them from scoring. You know, we know that All Blacks, when they get on a good start, you know, they
are hard to beat.
Difficult to stop. And the French were able to slow them down and stop them and eventually beat them comfortably. Yes, they came back against Italy, Namibia, Uruguay, and they scored big scores, but those are not the teams you charge them against, you know. And before the France game, they lost to the box by record score.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, the way that Ireland is going, number one in the world, confident, never been past the quarterfinals, there was just so much hanging on them. Yes, I understand that's pressure, but I thought that the experience that they have in that team, having won 17 games, been to 17 games in a row, been to New Zealand, beating them there for the first time.
It was their World Cup to win.
It was their World Cup to win. And unfortunately, I think also the game plan that the All Blacks came with and the mindset. You know, I saw a couple of videos in the build-up through that game. And, you know, the All Blacks were talking about how much, you know, that tour that they lost against Ireland at home, how much it hurt them. And you could see the focus on the senior players. And they knew that had they lost, Ian Foster is gone. Obviously, there's a new coach coming in. And I think the All Blacks, when the coach is under pressure, that's where you see them standing up, especially the senior players. We saw them when they came to SA for the championship. We beat them in Bombela. And then the CEO of New Zealand Rugby came to SA to watch the game. And if he had lost the game, he was going to get the chop. But the senior player stood up, Addie Sevier, Sam Kane, Sam Whitelock. And those are the players that came through for him. You know, Sam Kane played one of the best games in the All Black jersey.
That was at Ellis Park, right?
Yeah.
I was there.
Yes.
Super disappointing weekend.
Disappointing. And for me, that's where the All Blacks, the difference was. And besides having that game plan where, because France and Ireland are the same team. They like to play with ball in hand, especially once they get into your own half. DuPont controls that thing and the tempo of that game. Same with Gibson Park and Johnny Sexton. And the All Blacks were taking that breakdown all the time. Sevier was in, Sam Kane.
They were all over them.
And now you're slowing it down. And the way that the All Blacks defended is not the same as how we defend. We like to press and put them under pressure. Push them backwards and they have to kick. But the reason why, for me, I saw that the Irish were building like 36 phases, 20 phases, is because they were just getting up, slowed the ball down in the breakdown, just make sure you make your tackles.
Yeah.
Now, you would see waves of attack from Ireland all the time because they get in the space to attack, but they're not making that much meters.
Ground, correct.
Because the All Blacks are making their tackles. You know, if you look at the last 37 phases, they were just outside the 22, left to right, left to right. And guys were making tackles, getting up, making sure they have numbers to close out the Irish numbers. And eventually, they managed to, because it's going to take that split second for the cleaner to be late.
Yeah.
Because we know that Ireland likes to keep numbers on their feet as well to attack. So, and then Sam Whitelock on his, I think, most cap All-Black player.
That's 150, right?
Yes, that's crazy.
That is ridiculous.
That's crazy. And
I
for him,
the only person who can get to that potentially is Eben.
Yeah.
From an international standpoint.
Yeah. I think so as well. And for him, he's over 2 meters tall. For him to be that low and make that vital 10 overs. I mean, 10 over. It just shows you the desperation of the team and the quality of the team. Because to beat both Ireland and France, you know, it takes something special. And that's why for me, I feel that both teams will come out of those games with a lot of confidence. You know, and they know what's at stake. Now, both of them have got a chance of winning it 4 times. You know, they know that there's 2 games left and then one is going to go and have the record.
100%. And as a South African supporter and player, right, would, if you had to play in this World Cup hypothetically, would you want to face New Zealand or Ireland in the final if things had to change, if it was different?
I think based on current form, I would say New Zealand. because, like, if you play against New Zealand, you don't need to, not in Rassie or Jacques to psych you up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a game that every South African wants to play.
It's like a derby game.
Mm-hmm. You know, and especially with so much at stake, and in terms of both teams have won it three times. Mm. Now, who's going to go to that next level and win it for the fourth time? So I think the way it's going now, it's poised to go that route. But obviously, there's still one hurdle that both teams have to cross, Argentina and England. And if any of those guys, New Zealand and South Africa, don't show respect to these teams, you know, they could see themselves losing the game. You know, because, yes, New Zealand and South Africa are better equipped at the moment to beat Argentina and England. But we know that in sport, if you're not there mentally, like you, they were against those other two teams, then they could see themselves losing. And I don't see that happening. So for me, it's all about just making sure that you show respect to the opposition as much as you can, and then just playing to your strength, executing your game plan, and then the scoreboard will take care of itself. And yes, Argentina has beaten New Zealand before at home, but I think, you know, the All Blacks will be way better this time around.
Got you. And one of the talking points in this World Cup has been the reffing.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pick sides, right? I see DuPont was complaining about the calls this weekend. Yeah. I also could have, on my couch, I was complaining about calls as a South African.
Yes.
So what do you think about this World Cup's reffing? I mean, it's so hard to actually pinpoint it and choose sides and how, you know, with the consistency. I almost feel like this World Cup's almost like watching English Premiership football and complaining about VAR and this and that and the reds and the yellow cards. So what is your take on that?
You know, it's the only, I think, interesting part about the refereeing is the yellow card and the bunker system.
Mm.
For me, it was not consistent throughout the World Cup. You know, we've seen Makazole Mapimpi, for example, head knock with a fracture on his cheekbone, no card, no penalty.
100%.
Eban, head knock, yellow card, bunker system. Yes, it was a yellow card. It came back. So for me, there was that gray area in terms of the head knock. And there were a couple others as well that went unpunished. And then others became red cards. So in that sense, you know, I understand the safety factor about it. They want to keep it, you know, clean and, you know, show that kids can play a clean and a safe game, but you need to be consistent all around. But I thought Ben O'Keefe was actually very good.
He was a lot better. It was a lot better than the Irish game. Let's be honest.
And for me, I understand where, you know, Antoine comes from, because they lost. And I think had we lost the game, we would have seen calls that he made, that like the Faf de Klerk one.
Mm.
See, for me, I like that.
Yeah, so that's just for everyone to know, that pass into the France player. Yeah,
we've seen a lot of guys trying to milk penalties.
What's that Australian guy's name who did that in the past against us?
Which one?
In the rugby championship, man, the scrum off. He's a drama queen, man.
Oh, Mustache. The one that milked a yellow card. Yes, with Faf.
Yes.
Okay, his name will come to me.
We'll get his name now.
So for me, that's the type of thing that the refs need to take out. And we've seen a lot of times in Iraq where Nick White. We've seen a couple of times where players, and because if you make a tackle and then you fall on the wrong side and I push the ball against you, so the cleaners will try and pin you in so that we get a penalty.
Correct.
But other refs can say, I can see you pushing him in, so there's a ball played, which is fair. Mm. And you want to have a fair game. You don't want to get penalties by, you know, milking them and trying to get easy, soft penalties.
Mm.
And I felt, you know, Ben O'Keefe was correct there. Andre Pollard was left of the guy and Faf was trying to milk a penalty. Mm. And there you need to give credit to him.
Yeah.
And we've seen Wayne Barnes do the same thing.
Mm.
He's made calls where, you know, guys are milking penalties and he penalizes them. So I thought he was good. And I think now that's why he's in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Refing us against England.
Well, going back to that call, I mean, I think that call did us justice, right?
Yeah.
Because we stayed in their 22. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Was it in their 22 or our 22? In their 22,
it was, yeah.
Because
Hande was standing back for the drop kick.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy World Cup.
No, it was. And what I also liked about the box this weekend, you know, we had the lead, right? And they kicked off and then we were playing in our own half, right? And I could see, obviously, the guys trying to waste time now.
Because we had 2 minutes. We had 2 minutes left, yeah.
Yes. And the beauty about what they did was, because now if you play in your own half, those pods, you know, you play one pod on the left, you get cleaners, they go to the ground.
Steal the ball.
You can get a ball stolen, which could be a penalty.
Correct.
Or you can get a guy sealing.
Yeah.
And that could also be a penalty.
Correct.
But what they saw was, they saw that, okay, there's still a minute and a half, so Faf kicked a box. Because then you go in their own half and you put them under pressure defensively.
And they need to work hard.
And even if they get a penalty, they can't go for poles because Thomas Ramos's distance, he won't be able to kick it from the other side. So that's the experience you need coming from the bench.
I didn't think about that when I was watching it. I actually lost my mind when he kicked it because I thought we have good enough forwards to keep on the ball, right?
Yeah. No, but it's so small things because, you know, sometimes, especially at that time of the game, the forwards are tired, right? And you would go for a clean and then one guy pulls out and then you just go over.
Mm.
Now you're sealing.
Yeah.
Now it's not a fair contest. Now it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Now it puts you under pressure. You can kick that ball and you're leading by 1 point. So that was spot on for me. And just trust your defense. And eventually they were able to, you know, get that rip and then 100%. Get the ball back. Yeah.
So let's go straight into the semifinals this weekend. What is your predictions?
Should I make predictions?
Well, who's going to win, right?
Yeah,
and
so
if you wanna go double or quits on the brandy, we can also I might throw.
But
in a
I don't think you, I don't think yours will be different this time around.
It won't be different.
So I think it's easier this time around.
Yeah,
correct. And purely because, in the world rankings now, the All Blacks, SA's and All Blacks are 1 and 2.
Mm.
England, Argentina are further down, and I think based on form, and how the teams performed in the quarterfinals. Yes, they were facing different oppositions. England fought against Fiji, and Fiji came back, and they ended up winning by 6 points. And I think, you know, England with Owen Farrell at 10 and Manu Tuilagi at 12, that's a very good combination because Manny gives them that go forward. You know, it's a strong 12 that gets them forward, and that's what they want. You know, then they can bring those forwards around and Courtney Laws and those guys. But for me, I believe that the box will be too strong for them. Mm. And for me, it's all about just prepping well. And I know Rassi and Jacques will do that. They know what the England weaknesses are. And I think, you know, if you look at 2019, how we dominated in the scrums, you know, we'll get penalties from that. And I don't think that they can match our scrums. But I think the only thing that we need to work on is the lineouts. I felt that, you know, we didn't compete well enough against France in the lineouts. And England has also got a very strong lineout, you know, with Courtney Laws, Mario Toje. And that could put us under pressure with driving moles and their set plays. But besides that, I don't see how the English side can beat us.
Do you think it's going to be a walkover or it's going to be a tight game?
I don't think it's going to be tight. For me, if the box, you know, there was some rumors in the media that Rassi might change the team. And I hope he doesn't.
I was going to go to that because if you look at it from a strategy point of view, right? Mm. If you look at the two semifinals, the New Zealand-Argentina game is a lot easier game for New Zealand than us against England, right?
In what sense, though?
Well, listen, we can't just put our B or C team in inverted commas and play in England and expect to win, right? where New Zealand could probably make some changes and still probably get away with it, and rest some players or maybe get them to play only 20 minutes, right? Mm. Where we still need to out, we still need to pitch on the day against England. England's not a walk in the park, right?
And they will have the crowd as well supporting them. But for me, you know, I hope it doesn't twinkle with the team, because that team, for me, should go on if we make it to the final, right? You know, Jesse stood up. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, Lucanio Arm is fit and is ready, but Jesse did put up his hand. You know, he, the way he defended, and that's what you need from a 13, you know, to make those right calls on the outside, and especially how the box defend with that banana shape, you know, pressing hard on the outside. You need to make those spot-on tackles to stop that flow, and that's what he did. And also that try he created for Cheslin as well.
Unbelievable try.
You know, so hopefully if Rusty goes within with the same team, I'm not bothered about 6-2 or 5-3. And I think it will depend if Andre starts or on the bench. You know, because I don't think Andre is an 80-minute player as yet, because obviously he comes back from an injury layoff.
Correct.
But I think our forwards will be too strong for them. You know, our backs can match them easy and can even be better than them. But I think our forwards are just too strong. They won't be able to handle our pressure from the scrums, from the carries, from the defense. So I'm seeing between 10-15-point difference in the game.
Watch Rashi throw a spanner and Hoya 7-1 split.
You see, even if it does that, I think, you know, because now that's 7 forwards.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen the bench when it comes on, like Kwakha last weekend, which is amazing.
For me, I know he's an impact player.
Yeah.
But he's had such a good World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, he's really, really had a good World Cup. I would say he could be one of our players of the tournament, even though he hasn't started, right?
Yes.
Because his hand was always up.
Yes.
He's always pitched.
Yes.
And he's always made a huge impact.
And what's funny enough, Kwakha and Franco Mostert in the championship in the warm-up games, they were not themselves in the sense that they didn't have that much impact in the games they played. But it comes back to, you know, the coach believing in what the players can offer. And I like what he did. He moved Franco from loose forward and he played him at lock. And that's his position. And we've seen how good he became and how comfortable he became. And Kwakha is just a machine, man.
He is.
Like, the way he comes in, especially when he comes in with Dion Fourie, they just become like those wild dogs and just attack every ruck.
Jack Russells.
Jack Russells. They're making tackles. They don't have the build of a Jasper Visser or Dwayne Vermeulen, but the way they put their bodies on the line. And that's what you want. Kwakha came on and he made 2 vital steals to give us 6 points. You know, and those are the things that you want from the bench, to come in and make an impact. That's why they're called impact players.
The bomb squad.
Or the bomb squad, So for me, you know, if the box pitch up, yes, it's England. Yes, it's a semi-final. So the pressure is there. And, you know, we know how much the country needs it. We saw how on Sunday, everyone was just Springboks. And Monday, I think everyone was babalas, which was acceptable, and lack of sleep. So they know exactly what's at stake. So I think, you know, they'll be too strong for the English side.
And Mr. Ramaphosa, after the final, that Monday must be a public holiday. Please.
Please, please,
we can't carry on doing this every Monday.
It's going to be tough.
And then with the final, I think, me personally, both teams, they've got a point to prove, right?
Yeah.
New Zealand haven't had the perfect year.
Yeah.
They do have a point to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, the team of the year should be Ireland, the way they played this year.
Yes.
That's why I also went for New Zealand in the quarters, to be honest, is because they have something to prove.
Yes.
And they haven't proved themselves yet, right?
Yes.
All the losses they've had, put up your hand, show the world that you can beat world number one and the most informed team.
Yes.
And then also for South Africa, I mean, we need this win.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think for me, that's why that if both teams make it to the final, that's why that final is going to be I think, a very tough final.
Yeah.
Especially how we saw the All Blacks play in the quarterfinals. You know, that's the All Blacks we know.
Yep.
You know, being a very difficult team, in your face, building phases, and then taking the points when it's there. Jody Barrett can also kick from the other side. And the interesting part is that, you know, we didn't see the All Blacks running the ball from 10 to the wing because they knew that they have to play a certain way to beat the Irish defense. And that's a smartness about their coaching staff as well, with Joe Smith there. And there's so much at stake. You know, Ian Foster won't be there next year. And I think, you know, Sam Whitelock and the gang might retire after the World Cup. So there's so much that's hanging on these games. You know, with Sia having being the first black captain to win it back-to-back. The Springboks winning it four times. We know Jacques is leaving the Springbok job as well. So it's one for the ages, that one.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm super excited for the next two weekends.
Yeah.
It's going to be super interesting.
I'm just getting nervous thinking
I'm
about
just,
it.
I'm nervous in this chair as we speak.
Yeah.
But it's something to look forward to, right?
Yeah.
So good for this country.
Yeah.
And we really, really hope we can pull this one off again, right?
Yeah. Let's back our boys.
Yeah, let's back our boys.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.